This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday. Nick, hour number three starts now. Eight songs that you would choose if you were self-quarantined. What would they be?
Your list is hilarious.
What list? My way back Wednesday list?
Yes. That's pretty funny.
I think it was necessary.
Yeah, I liked it. Well done. Well played, okay. Sir.
There you go. So look forward to Nick in hour number three. If you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show, you can always go back to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. The menu drops down. You can catch up on the hours that you missed. So please do that if you did miss any portions of the show. And while you're on the front page, you can always download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss any shows on ESPN 97.5. So there's that. It is hour number three, Mr. Laminack. So the floor is yours in terms of how much you care to sauce it up, as you normally do during this 60-minute portion of the program.
There's no hour three agenda. I never have an hour three agenda. It just happens that way. So I just.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm positive. There's no hour three agenda. None whatsoever.
I mean, like, we could talk about P as in PJ Tucker opening a sneaker store, but normally the P in hour number three is reserved for you to talk about other things. So
no,
I'm just saying.
No. I did see there's a new sneaker store that opened up in Houston. I forget the name, and they don't advertise. So, but it was a one-off. And when I saw the news that PJ Tucker was going to open a store, I thought, well, maybe that was it. And then you said no, because he would have made a bigger deal out of it already. So that now there's going to be another specialty sneaker store in town owned by him, because there's already a couple, and I forget their names, but there's already a couple of spots.
There's one that was Tracy McGrady's brother has one that is off of Richmond and Chimney Rock, I believe, or Fountain View. There was one in West University for a long period of time, but yep. The crazy thing to me is, like, you talk about just how far we've come in terms of being sneakerheads and the shoe game and all that other stuff that we talk about. PJ Tucker did a podcast recently, which is when he talked about this, and he wasn't ready to give out the location. That's why I don't think that it's all been wrapped up yet. But when you think about it, Kyle Kuzma and PJ Tucker were hotly pursued for shoe deals, in which, in PJ Tucker's case, and he talked about this on this podcast that he did, he talked about getting his own signature shoe. Okay, he may be the heart and soul of the Rockets. There might be a discussion about that, but there shouldn't be any discussion about the fact that if there's one guy that shouldn't have his own signature shoe, it's PJ Tucker.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, though, right? So half of me says he should have a signature shoe, and then because he's such a shoe head, like he's such a sneaker head. But then the other half of me says he shouldn't, because he wears everybody else's shoes.
Well, right? I think, like, that's
I don't know where I fall.
Yeah, because
that.
But that's the new trend. That's the new trend.
That's the thing, Nick. They're capitalizing on the new trend, because used to be only the creme de la creme, the top five players in the league, got their own signature shoe, and it's been scaled down even more since a lot of the top five players don't always translate to top five shoe sales. We've seen, you know, Dream fail with all of his shoes, and Ewing fail with his shoes, and then as
you continue to go on,
Iverson six,
I think Ewing's shoe had a real
blip on the radar for Adidas, and then it fell off. You know, Kobe was initially an Adidas guy. And then one of the things he bounced back with everybody thought was going to be a huge loss for Nike was when Nike signed him after the whole Colorado thing. And then it proved that Kobe's brand was reinvented. He obviously was still the player that everybody had seen and better. And then the Kobe line of shoes took off. But Barclays were good, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that
Ewing's
they gave
were
signature
popular
shoes
when
to
I was
that,
in high school.
But like I said, for a short Ewing's period of time. But did you see?
Oh, you're talking
version
longevity.
3,
you're
4, 5,
over,
6.
Over the long
yeah,
term.
I'm talking about that was like, just a 1 year like thing, or okay. You know, with right or even James ago. Harden. How many volumes of the Harden are out there now? When you know that it's become like a you know a really big deal for certain players, but they've always said too that the big man shoe. If you're a big man and you want a signature shoe, it's never you know, like Yao had his shoe. No one bought that.
No.
You know, it's just. So it's a real, but now because so the crazy thing is like Kuzma's deal, I believe, is with StockX, your company that you like, mm-hmm. where the fact that I think that's the next big thing is instead of having a signature shoe, it gives him and PJ because PJ said that's on the podcast one of the reasons why he didn't want his own signature shoe was because he likes being able to change shoes 4 times during a game and wear a LeBron, you know. A LeBron low in the first quarter, and then by the second half, he's wearing a Jordan shoe or something like that. So I think that it's just carving out a different niche to make money and get notoriety for it.
I would think the smart thing, though, for whoever signs him, didn't he get a deal with Nike, though? Like, didn't he have where he wears nothing but Nikes?
I don't think
so
that's
PJ
true.
Is under the – no, I think it is. I think PJ is under the Nike umbrella, which includes Jordan – that
right.
he prefers to stay under the Phil Knight brands, whereas Kuzma can wear Puma, he can
yeah,
wear
he can
Adidas,
whatever.
He
so
can
PJ
wear
PJ Tucker
he
can't wear an Adidas
wants.
Shoe or anything like that? He can't wear something outside of Nike?
I don't believe so.
I think he got a deal.
I don't believe
like
so.
A Nike
I can verify
exclusive.
That with Tony. Yeah,
now,
I think it's a Nike.
The point I was going to make was, like, if you're Nike and you're smart and you want to take advantage of PJ Tucker and he doesn't want a signature shoe, he wants to be able to rock all the old school shoes, then just do PJ Tucker exclusive colorways, like a PE colorway for
right.
him, right? So if he's going to rock an Air Jordan 1, you can have the PJ Tucker colorway for the Air Jordan 1. And now you're giving him some sort of exclusivity using the old school signature shoes. That Nike should definitely take advantage of that. And I think people would buy them, depending on the colors, obviously, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna text Tony too and see if his shoe deal is a Nike exclusive.
What about Lonzo Ball? Because of his name, he probably deserves a signature shoe.
No, not at all.
Well, he has.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
He has a signature.
No, he did. You know what he's wearing now, Nick? I say he was wearing until they delayed the season. He was wearing Kobe's. He was wearing Nikes. And matter of fact, he was doing that last year too, while the Ball brand. Big Baller brand was still up and running. He had already switched to wearing Nikes during games. So he wasn't out there selling his own brand.
Hey, just FYI, quick Googles. November 27, 2019, Sports Illustrated article, NBA sneaker king PJ Tucker signs multi-year deal with Nike.
Yeah, I know that deal. I just didn't know that forced him to exclusively. Because when I see his locker room, I feel like maybe he doesn't wear them, but I see shoes outside of. Out of Nike, so he probably doesn't wear them. That's why I just assumed that he wore. I know about the Nike deal. I just didn't know it was exclusive to where he can only wear Nike.
Well, keep in mind, Nick, that that's a combination. So all the shoes you see in his locker are his own personal collection as well as shoes that are given to him as part of his deal. So a lot of times, a lot of the guys, even if they have shoe deals with a certain apparel and brand, when they're on their own time just kicking it, and a lot of times the shoe company will see it and they'll call him out on it. But PJ, because he's a shoe aficionado, I'm sure he has tons of Adidas and rare, you know, former signature shoes of players and things like that, that he probably you see in his locker as well as like everybody goes to you, a lot, especially the guys that are sponsored by like Anta and the Asian shoe companies. They will wear when they're wearing jeans or they're just when they're going out to and from the locker room, they wear Jordans, they wear other things.
Yeah, he talked about that he was looking at Puma, Adidas, and Reebok before he signed the deal with Nike. So those were all on the table. I think he had discussions and he had good things to say about all of them. But obviously, when you talk about signature shoes, Nike's going to be, for a guy like PJ Tucker, to be able to wear, you know, all the different, it's a no-brainer for him, really.
Yeah, like, think about it. I mean, how about Joel Embiid as the whole theory that you could back it up with? Joel Embiid is a heck of a player. He's got an Under Armour deal. They're going to make a Joel Embiid signature shoe. I don't think that a majority of the people, unless you're a sneakerhead that watch NBA basketball, know that Joel Embiid is even with Under Armour.
I would have had, yeah, I had no idea.
Under Armour, yeah, Under Armour was really hot for like 5 years or 3 or 4 years. They were just spending money left and right. I feel like, I still think there's a lot of hype behind their name, but I feel like there's been a bit of a drop off in the past 2 or 3 years.
But Steph is their only signature guy. I mean, you think Under Armour, and the only guy you think of for a signature shoe that is the face and the name of Under Armour, it's Steph Curry. And that's why when, and to your point, Nick, when Under Armour wanted to get in the game, they wanted to make sure that they had a couple, a player or two that they could get to be the signature spokesperson for the brand. They got it right with Steph, and they hit it big because at the time he wasn't as big as he ended up being. But then you take a company like Puma who wanted to get in the game, but they thought, well, we're going to sign all these young guys that are going to carry the brand. Well, Marvin Bagley III and guys like that not only didn't do it for them, they haven't done it yet in the NBA to where they just – they're taking the hit financially because they put money behind guys that they didn't do enough research to figure out were going to be good enough players, even if they were, you know, marketable enough.
Yeah, it's a risky deal. You got to make sure that you put your money into the right guys. There's a lot of guys that they do okay, but then they flop and now you're stuck.
And you think about it, it's really only a handful of guys that get the big money. Harden lucked out because it was coming off his MVP season that he capitalized with that, you know, six-figure deal. But Kevin Durant was a guy Under Armour went after and threw massive amounts of money to, and Nike matched it. But unless you're, you know, Kobe and Barkley are still selling shoes even after they got done playing, and obviously posthumously with Kobe, but and Iverson, those shoes are still selling. But in terms of current guys that have shoe deals that make a ton of money for their shoe company, KD, LeBron, Curry, Harden, who else?
Yeah. That's, I mean.
And Jordan. Jordan's still killing it, obviously. But
yeah.
It's tough to find the current players. Two shoes
from my childhood or my high school days that I would like to own a pair just to wear again is the Ewings and the Grant Hills, the Feelers. Oh, and then the Griffies. I think the second Griffey release, I had a pair of those. God, I love them. They were like a cross
trainer. Boy, the
trainer.
Griffey trainer with the – yeah, the Griffey trainer with the air all the way through was one of my favorite shoes of all time.
Yeah, I wish – the low-top version. I need to go look on StockX for those three.
Yeah, because you don't have kids. Okay, so we're going to continue to roll on. We've got much more of the final hour of the show. It's a Way Back Wednesday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Now, this is actually a good song. I will never deny the fact that the Saturday Night Fever album, and probably because my dad loved it and played it all the time once I bought it for him, even when I was a kid. My mom actually said it was from me. But the Bee Gees, I was always a fan. I'll never deny the fact. They got some great songs. But I get what you did, Nick, and I give you creative credit for the way you constructed your list.
I appreciate that. Hopefully that will show in the vote. Oh, wait, we don't do no polls anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Just stop pandering for votes. Your bots sucked
and Barry
the
are
fun
chickens.
Out of something that was so organic for so long. Now we don't do it anymore. By the way, I do want to give a shout-out to Fitz Roofing. They said, and I got a call from Corey himself this morning, and he said, hey, if you want to let your listeners know and the suspects know, right now, Fitz Roofing is going to do what they can for the community by offering free minor repairs and free estimates. If you just, all you got to do is call them at 832-521-3001 and tell them to come out and see that they, you might have a leak or you got something going on. And obviously with everything going on right now, you can't afford to pay for it. They're going to come out, make an assessment, let you know what they can do, and they're going to try and help where they can. So another way that Fitz Roofing's making a difference. Very cool.
Very cool.
I appreciated him reaching out, wanted to pass that along. So that's some good stuff
right
there.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Good on
that. I don't know if you guys saw. There is some football stuff out there. The NFL now, the general managers are telling the NFL to move the date of the draft, and the league itself is saying, we don't care about the fact that you're not getting adequate physicals on these players. You don't get to evaluate them in person on pro days like you would. The fact that we are front and center during this coronavirus and getting all this attention, they're basically saying, yeah, we're still not changing the date of the draft.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you good with that? Do you think that's socially responsible?
Well, you know what? I think that I understand why the NFL is doing what they're doing. Because like I just said, to be front and center when all other sports are either postponed, canceled, or on hiatus, they're loving the fact that basically ESPN is the NFL network right now. Every day, every bit of content is all about football. But it's going to backfire the first time that one of these teams takes a kid and, you know, drafts them high, and then after all this passes and they get into camp or they get to playing and it turns out he had a pre-existing medical condition or some kind of degenerative knee or hip or something like that, and it costs a franchise, that's when it's going to be a bad look.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think the one saving grace is it could all be done online, right? Like, you don't have to gather in order to do the draft. You could do a virtual draft.
Sure. The draft itself, now, yes. But
the one scary thing is you could lose internet connectivity or whatever, but I guess you have phone lines that you can call the commissioner and get your pick in before the deadline, so that you don't have to do it over the, you know, over a screen or whatever. So, but you still have to have some sort of gathering. So I don't know. I mean, and on the one hand, I think if you can do it, you should do it and provide people with some sort of entertainment, because it is, at this point, I mean, just being able to watch a draft. Normally I wouldn't watch past the first round. Hell, I might watch the whole thing just to have something to watch.
Well, it's no doubt about it. It's an event. And I feel like you would definitely watch all the rounds had you been there in person. It's obviously something that they're considering. They don't want to lose money, and that's probably one of the reasons why they want to push it back yet. But this might be a situation where the general managers just sit back and let this thing play out, because Roger Goodell could just look bad once again in the event that this coronavirus doesn't come to a peak pretty soon. They'll be forced to. There won't be any facilities to begin with available for them to even hold the event. So this might be a situation where the GMs could kind of sit back and let this coronavirus situation play back, because Roger Goodell may be forced to shut this whole thing down to anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the ideal situation the NFL is in right now is the fact that their schedule is so far away that they don't have to be pressed to make any decisions except for non-game related events like the draft. And to your guys' point, the draft could easily be done online and totally be done and still get the coverage and still get the attention because there's nothing else going on. And matter of fact, Adam Schefter today said, well, there's 7 rounds of the draft. They should spread it out and do 1 round each night for 7 straight nights. Normally, that would be a really bad decision for broadcast television, for ESPN or otherwise. But because of the strange times we're in right now, it might be something that is, like Barry said, it might be viewed every single night. The problem on the flip side is that as much as we say from a draft perspective, it could go on and there's not a problem. The problem is from a franchise standpoint and from a football standpoint, these football operations, we know once you get past the first couple rounds, and even in with the first couple rounds, you get guys you think are slam dunks to be great players and they don't turn out to be. But when you get into those 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th rounds and you don't have, you know, hands-on a chance to work a kid out, to interview the kid. And Barry, you and I were talking about it yesterday about the fact that when you're putting them through drills, and it's one thing to say, well, we've heard his lateral quickness might not be good. Send me a video of him doing the block drill or whatever, you know, whatever. But he could do it 85 times before he sends you the one where he does it the best. That's where you're going to get the quality of player issues that are going to come up from a football standpoint.
Yeah, that would be my concern because, I mean, if they gave me the opportunity, that's what I would do. I'd be like, I'll just do it again. I'll send that one. So, yeah, it's an interesting dilemma. And, I mean, I think at the end of the day, because you keep bringing up the point about the injuries, and I think that's spot on, too, is you don't know, and it's so much of a risk for these franchises, especially in the first round, because you're talking about you spend a first round draft pick on a guy that maybe you didn't get to watch live or wanted to see again at a pro day or whatever leading up to the draft, and then you end up burning that pick. That could be an issue for a team. So yeah,
that's when the league gets all the backlash nationally. That's when it becomes an issue. It may not seem like an issue for anybody right now, but that's exactly when it becomes a huge sticking point, where, you know, they're going to have teams filing grievances and saying, look, you know, if we'd have known that this guy needed microfracture surgery, and all we could do was base it on when scouts were in the stands, when he played in the SEC, but all of a sudden, you know, we don't get to work the kid out. We don't get any chance to push the draft back so that when the coronavirus passes and we can get a chance to see a kid in person, and then we draft a kid, there's no kind of insurance policy for us. That's going to be an issue.
Well, they had the combine, but it's still not. I think they do stuff afterwards where they'll bring in guys.
Oh, they do.
That's
it's all pro day.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but teams pro days. And then on top of that, I don't know if you saw that or not, but in the case of like a Tua, the Dolphins tried to bring Tua in and get him in before all this coronavirus hit. And they were trying to get him in quickly before they started, you know, saying no more travel and doing all these things. And they couldn't get it done in time because their sole focus was, we got to know, at least from our doctor's perspectives, is he really 100%, or will he ever get back to 100% with his hip?
See, I think they're getting screwed the most because that's, we talk about the decisions that you make in the NFL draft that can put a franchise back 5-10 years. That's one of them. And if you don't have that person in front of you, see, I think that probably hurts them the most, because the big discussion, at least in terms of the quarterback class, is Tua or Joe Burrow. Who do you go with? And a lot of people may be hesitant to pull the trigger on Tua because of his injuries, because of the history of injuries that he's had. But I think it's easy to make the decision to at least consider him. I think you'd be dumb to not at least consider Tua despite the injury history. So I think when you're one of the teams that are in talks of potentially getting a quarterback like Joe or Tua, those are the teams who should really be complaining. The devil's advocate argument would be, look, everybody's playing with the same situation. You know, if I'm Roger Goodell, I guess that's one cheap argument you can make. Hey, if I push this back even further and the coronavirus doesn't go away, it's even a worse situation, so we might as well get it done out of the way so we can be on schedule as much as possible. And everybody's
playing by
it.
And, Nick, it's a valid point. It's a valid point you're bringing up with Burrow versus Tua. If they're both healthy, you know, you get down to the fact of who would you take, and it would be a real legitimate discussion. And then when you start bringing up the fact that teams are leery, because you look at Mitch Trubisky, a guy that only had 1 year of college, and everybody was so sure he was going to be – obviously the Bears were very sure that he was going to be the best quarterback in that draft, and now look at him. The argument could be made, hey, if Tua's 100%, he put two and a half years on the board of quality play that you can evaluate and say, this guy's got it, whereas Burrow had 1 year because of the transfer from Ohio State, because the first year at LSU wasn't great. He had this last season, and all of a sudden people are basing it on that and saying, this dude's going to be a franchise quarterback.
I think the smart thing to do if you're Roger Goodell is just to push pause. I mean, you can't – there's too much at stake for these teams, and I just feel like, you know, if it's essential to them, but it's a non-essential activity, and I would love to be able to watch the draft, but after all the stuff that we've been discussing, to me, the prudent and smart thing to do would just be to wait.
The only problem, Barry, is off-season workouts, and if you're drafting these kids and you expect them to play, like, close to immediately, and they don't learn terminology and all this other stuff, the teams are going to bitch again.
Well, then what do? Do you put in a pending physical thing where you can draft a guy and this is the only year where if a guy fails the draft, but you still don't have an alternative because the draft is over with. So it's a big risk.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know that there's an alternative. You're right. I mean, we see that in these free agent contracts, they're making coronavirus clauses. But, yeah, it's difficult because you can't go give a draft pick back and say, hey, I want to, like, I have a receipt. I want to bring this pick back and take somebody else. You can't do that. So,
yeah,
interesting discussion there as part of everything that's going on with the coronavirus. But obviously, health concerns are big. And before we go to the break, I want to tell you about another concern that a lot of guys have. They don't have the energy they once have. Basically, they feel the ebbs and the flows of their daily grind, and they don't have that get up and go that they once had. Coffee's not doing the trick, and they want answers. Well, Apollo Men's Health is here to help you and the people in the Houston area. They have two locations in Pearland and Lake Jackson, but their sole focus is to make sure you get back on track, have the energy you want and need for everything from doing your job to all the daily grind of your family to working out again to maybe even in the bedroom. They can take care of it all in one location. In addition to traditional methods of testosterone therapy, which they're absolutely fantastic at, they also have cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy that reduces the amount of times you actually have to go in to get treatment at one of the Apollo Men's Health locations, but still maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They also offer body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, all to overall increase your overall quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, where you can book your first appointment. They're basically solely focused on you and your health and how to help make it better. Most major insurance accepted discounts for military personnel and first responders. Check them out today, Apollo Men's Health and ApolloMH.com.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
So what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Now what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel. The first day that we are in the coronavirus plan B for The Usual Suspects. Barry at his house, I'm at my house. Nick is too important to be at his house. He is one of those people that they talk about on the news. What is your exact title, Nick, of... exclusively mandatory, important,
essential,
people.
Essential,
designated essential. Yeah. Nick is essential.
Essential idiot.
Essential to 97.5. I've been walking around the fourth floor telling everybody that we're essential. Everybody else is.
Nick has a letter that states he's essential, so he is free to move about the country. We are all limited to our house and only quick trips to the market or to the gas station.
And you know how many cops I saw driving up here? A big zero. Fat zero.
Yeah.
Really?
Although the mayor is out there suggesting very sternly that fines and possible jail time will be enforced if they see people out there. Come on. I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm sure that you saw that? Like, because obviously New York is the epicenter in the United States right now with the most cases, right, and the most pressing needs. Crime is down 17% in New York City since the coronavirus started, and that was actually a story today. Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious why, right?
Yeah, it is.
But the numbers in New York are staggering. They said one out of every five people in New York could possibly have it.
That's crazy.
Possibly the population in New York. Wow. Possibly have it when they're saying about how many people have already tested positive and what they're expecting with numbers now that everybody's getting tested, that the numbers are just staggering in New York. Yeah, it is.
Well, they predicted California could be over half of the population could get it or have it. Pretty scary stuff, man. It's
no, it really is.
No joke. That's why if you don't have to go out and get coffee, don't.
Okay.
All right. Deshaun Watson, somebody tagged us on a couple of tweets. It was Alex Villanueva and then PayPal Pete tagged us. He's subtweeting somebody. I don't know who. But his last couple of tweets, so one of them 28 minutes ago, don't deal with the lies and the frauds. That's why I don't get involved. What's up?
Wow. And we verified that Kane.
No, I'm on his Twitter account with the blue check mark. That is from Deshaun Watson. The other one, 10 minutes ago. So that first one was 29 minutes ago. This next one was 10 minutes ago. Never take advice from a person who don't love you. You got to walk light, got to stay above water. I don't know what all that means. One, sometimes athletes tweet like an emotional teenage girl. And I don't know what this means, but he's subtweeting at somebody. I don't know if that one is Bill O'Brien or not, but
with every day, whether
his
he's
agent
just,
or who knows,
every day that he does more of this, and I've obviously a lot of athletes have fun trolling too, like everybody else does, to try and get people to just react and overreact. But if you're a Texans fan, at some point, isn't it time to really start panicking? Going, this might be a reality that we're going to have to face, that the Hopkins trade, if nothing else, has gotten Deshaun to the point where you're going to lose the franchise quarterback that you so desperately were without for so many years. And then once you got him, this guy could screw the whole thing up. I'll tell you this, though, fellas. I just thought about it, Barry, while you were saying this. I was like, well, so obviously if Cal came out and fired Bill O'Brien, that maybe – you could get Deshaun to kind of 180 and reel it back in and say, I still want to be here. But I've got the solution for you in terms of keeping Deshaun in Houston. And I don't know if it'd work or not.
Okay.
Okay. Dabo Sweeney is the next head coach of the Houston Texans.
Okay. You think he would want that?
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen Saban experiment with going to the pros. We've seen Chip Kelly do it. At a certain point when you've won, and Chip Kelly didn't even win at the level that Dabo has consistently over the last couple of years. But at a certain point as a coach, you hear all these coaches and all these sports talk about, I want to accept the challenge. I want to see if I can prove myself on every level. Calipari has done it, tried with the NBA. Tarkanian did it. I could see Dabo going, you know, I've got a national championship. I've competed several years in a row for one. I've proven Saban and Alabama aren't invincible. I want to see if I could do it at the next level and do it at a high level. What better place to do it than with the quarterback I won a national championship with, and also at the same time salvage Deshaun leaving the city of Houston?
Yeah, that's an interesting proposition. Interesting suggestion. I had not thought of that, but do you think that's enough? Because, I mean, or is the damage done? I feel like with Deshaun at this point, the damage is done. Like, because you're not getting Hopkins back. You're just not getting him back. So at this point, unless you can add somebody that Deshaun Watson really wants to play with, an OBJ, or, you know, maybe somebody like that. Maybe Antonio Brown is the guy. Maybe they go out and get him. I don't know. I doubt it. But it just seems like damage done at this point. I don't know. I don't know if anything saves it. Maybe Dabo is the Hail Mary that they need. No pun intended.
And I don't know if there's a GM too that fits that would work with all those guys and do that kind of thing. But it just kind of crossed my mind as we were talking. And you would need to get – and look, this wouldn't be the first time. And I'll take you guys back to the Steve Francis era as one of the ones that really makes – that will stick in my mind forever. But it wouldn't be the first time and wouldn't be far-fetched to think that a franchise would absolutely, you know, cater to and pattern everything around their best player or players. We've seen the Rockets do it recently with how I've told you about it, how James and his mom and his crew have just run of everything, not just basketball-wise, but everything – Rockets and Toyota Center wise. But before that, Steve Francis, when the Rockets got Steve Francis and they were sure that he was the guy that was going to take them places for the next 5 years or so, they made a conscious effort to take care of players and that were his friends, that he wanted to play with, that he thought, you know, whatever was going to make him happy so he would stay. So you saw Mucci get a 5-year $25 million contract. Terrence Morris got a multi-year deal, and people were like, who got what? You know, they signed Coutinho to a big deal. A lot of guys that otherwise wouldn't even be on the Rockets' radar suddenly were getting contracts and for good money simply because they needed to make their star happy. So I could see that, you know, someone coming to, because obviously Cal's not going to do it on his own, but you have to realize how much backlash you're getting as a franchise over everything that Bill O'Brien's done and gone, hey, if you want to make sure this kid doesn't leave and goes to New England or wherever he goes, this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to consider.
I saw, speaking of New England, and to get off topic a little bit, but I saw this the top landing spots for Cam Newton, and New England was number one. You think
really?
You think Bill Belichick would want to deal with Cam Newton?
I don't think so.
I would think it's a
bad
fit.
That makes sense for me either. Yeah.
Like I told you guys all along, I thought the Chargers were the best landing spot for him, especially when Anthony Lynn came out and said, I want a quarterback that's mobile, that can run, that can give us another element. So
I thought you said Chicago. Don't be trying to change now, Joel.
No, from a trade perspective, I thought that he should be traded to Chicago. But right now, as it sits, I think of all the different landing spots, I think the Chargers make the most sense.
I'm with you. I think at this point, because the list I saw had the top spot being New England, which I just don't see him being a Belichick guy.
I agree.
The second one was Buffalo. I don't think that makes
sense. But they got a guy.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying this doesn't make any sense to have him on the list. Chargers were third on the list, and then the Raiders fourth, but the Raiders just signed Mariota. They still have Derek Carr. Unless you move Derek Carr to bring in Cam, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm with you. I think he's running out of options, really. It's either New England or the Chargers, and I don't see him being a fit in New England.
And
unless he goes to the Jags, but again.
I saw something this morning. Do you know who has the third highest odds to get Tua?
Who?
The Washington Redskins, who just just used a top 15 pick on a franchise quarterback in Haskins a year ago. And I say that to say this. The other rumor that's out there is that who was Cam Newton's coach when he had all the success in Carolina? Ron Rivera.
Yeah, Ron Rivera.
So the rumor is that Ron Rivera would want to bring Cam to Washington.
Well, didn't they just got Kyle Allen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But they also drafted Haskins in the first round last year. So you're already ready to kind of say, I'm done with Dwayne Haskins. And whether they get Tua or they bring in Cam, Rivera's going to want his own guy. And this guy's already going to be thrown on the scrap heap. That's a wasted first round pick.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt. I think Haskins is a waste of a first round pick, no matter what else you do. But then you go out and you get Kyle Allen from Carolina and you don't get Cam. That's where I don't think that's going to be a thing. That's weird.
A lot of weird things going on right now surrounding a lot of different team situations. So we'll see. Where does Cam end up? Who drafts who where and when the draft actually takes place? Things we've already talked about and we will continue to talk about in the coming days. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Way Back Wednesday. And, Nicholas, as we do look for themes and tones, and we had Biggie a few weeks ago, did you know, in a did-you-know moment, that Biggie's posthumous second album, one of hip-hop's greatest, 23 years ago, the Notorious B.I.G. dropped Life After Death.
Did not know that. Did not know today was the day.
Yeah, but kind of ironic since at least Barry and myself had B.I.G. songs on our lists, but and the fact that we did the way back 2 weeks ago dedicated to Biggie.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah, so kind of cool. 23 years ago, Life After Death. Great album. Biggie dropped. Barry, Nick brought this, he put this in front of us this morning, and I don't know if you saw it or not. Did you see the Karl Anthony Towns video?
I did not. I heard about it, but I did not.
Yeah, Nick's got an excerpt of it. Pretty emotional stuff when you start thinking about, because I've heard a lot of people say that they really can't take this as dramatic and serious as a lot of people are making it until it hits them personally, like someone they know, or, you know, when we talk about the Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation. But a lot of people are obviously so connected. It wasn't one thing when Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell, but boy, I'll tell you what, if it doesn't kind of get to you when you hear Karl Anthony Towns talk about the fact that his mom, it looks like, has the coronavirus and the state that she's in, it's pretty serious stuff.
I was told early last week my parents weren't feeling well, and after a couple of days of not getting and showing any signs of improvement, I was very adamant on the first day to go to a hospital and seek further evaluation. Specifically, me and my sister, I told her she needs to get checked for corona. I talked to her before she went there, told her I loved her. Every day I always told her how much I love her. She was telling me things that I didn't want to hear, so I dismissed some things she was saying because it wasn't something I want to hear. You know, it's difficult. It's been very difficult for me and my family, to say the least. She's the head of our household. She's the boss. She's been in a medically induced coma. Since that day, I haven't talked to her, haven't been able to obviously communicate with her. I've just been getting updates on her condition. To only make this video so that people can understand that the severity of this disease is real.
Damn.
I mean, you take that and you realize the impact that this thing can really have, and that the fact that most people that you talk to are saying, and obviously with the amount of tests that are out there now, the numbers are just going to go up. It's just, there's just the sheer percentages of the numbers that with all the testing they're doing on a daily basis, they're going to be more positive test results. But it really does hit you when you hear and feel like people like that, being hit by it. I don't know if you guys also heard that, like, an A&M basketball player that was, I guess, a fairly good point guard back in the day, David Edwards, I think he played in the 90s.
Yeah, he has passed away the record from it. For assists.
Yeah, he passed away from it this week. Damn.
You know, so, the sad thing to me is I'm hearing or seeing, you know, you see stories on the news and read stories on Facebook and Twitter and whatnot where people's loved ones, their parents have it, and you can't go see them.
Yeah.
And then they end up passing away essentially by themselves with no loved ones around them. And it's heartbreaking enough when you think about it that way. But then I saw it was pretty emotional because I saw one lady, she was like, you know, I lost my dad and it was, you know, I didn't get to say goodbye and I didn't get to see him and I thought it would be okay. And he died by himself in a hospital room quarantined. And one lady down there was like, look, as a nurse, I can tell you that my coworkers, you know, my colleagues didn't let him die alone, that somebody was there with him. It's heartbreaking when you think of it on that level. When you're like, man, your parents or your family member could be quarantined with it and then die from it. And so it's almost like if it happens, do you say goodbye? Because what if it is goodbye? What if you never get to go back in there?
And here's the thing that's even to echo that point. Then if the people actually pass away, I've had several friends on Facebook talk about the fact that because of the limitations on group gatherings, when someone passes away, they're watching the funeral, streaming it online so that family members can at least see the ceremony that they're not allowed to attend. And that's just crazy.
Damn, that's just brutal.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously it's not the ideal circumstances for people that want to complain about the fact that you're basically self-quarantined and asked to stay in the house, but it's for all the right reasons because this thing really is serious. And the more that we do now to do the right thing, the more we'll be able to put this behind us and hopefully quicker because this thing is scary, man.
Yeah. And you know what? There's also guys like Brother Bear who sent us a message that said, look, y'all may or may not be faith-based folks or religious, but I'm in the medical field picking up the coronavirus stuff daily. Could y'all send out good vibes or a prayer for me and my coworkers? Because you forget about that. I mean, you forget about there's people that are transporting stuff like that. It's just, oh, man, it's heartbreaking. So, yeah, Brother Bear and everybody else out there, take care of yourselves. be safe, be careful, because it's dangerous, and it's a scary time we live in. Which brings up a point about sports. So somebody had asked, do you think that they should cancel sports through the end of the year? I don't know. I don't know about that, because if the U.S. does turn it around by the middle of the year, July or August or whatever, and you still have time to bring some joy back to people's lives, why wouldn't you? Why just have a hard and fast rule of saying, all right, no sports until 2021? If you can get sports in before the end of the year, why not?
That goes back to my whole argument of postpone versus cancel, because you're right. You know, sports is such a release for so many people on so many levels, that if you're a golfer and get a chance to see the Masters in September, or, you know, that's why I said, as tough as it would have been, I would have loved to have seen the March Madness in June or whenever it was, simply because the whole nation is so compelled and into it, and there's so much fun dialogue because of it. They're going to need that kind of levity and that escape when we get out from under all this. And so I think they have to do everything they possibly can to make sure we have some sports as soon as they can.
Yeah. Somebody texted the show and said, hey, here's a show name change, Nick and the Two Non-Essentials. No, that would be our band. If we formed a band right now, it would be Nick and the Non-Essentials.
Yeah, I'm good with that. By the way, Lisa said, to end on a positive note, but she said, shout out to all the teachers that are now taking all their time and energy to making videos at home so that their kids can still learn and have fun. Matt Jackson tweeted out today, he's a teacher, and he said that he had 90 kids online in an active discussion that just warmed his heart and made him feel so good about the fact that kids are actually engaging online and they care about, you know, for sticking with their education. So shout out to all those teachers that had to adapt on the fly just to try and keep kids learning.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to end on a positive note, because that was kind of depressing.
No, we needed to.
Let's end on a slam dunk, though. I'm moved, I've been deed, I've been died. I mean, that was kind of a depressing story with Karl Anthony Towns. I just wanted to lighten up the mood.
Can you play? Hold on.
I feel like everybody's dancing right now in their cars.
No. People are vomiting. Can you play the remix?
Well, he's got the Chumbawamba remix that he'll close with, for sure.
Jeez, this is awful, Nick. Now I'm about to go running. I'm going to be singing this the whole time. You're a dick. Just so you know.
This is this song in honor of Nick's grapes until the coronavirus passes, because of social distancing and the fact that the single guy is going to go without. So
you ain't right.
All right, boys, keep practicing and keep the faith as we continue to do this. This was pretty good for the first day, the way it all turned out. I kind of like the
some
fact
awkward
that we were
this was the second day. The first day you messed up, remember?
Yeah, the first day you screwed it all up. There were some awkward pauses, but we'll get it figured out.
We appreciate you guys bearing with us as we continue to get the growing pains out of the way. But, hey, stay safe out there. The Blitz is coming up next. Fred, AJ, Aaron, they'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Ain't this some sh**?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.